We are in our series. If you can remember back, again, last Wednesday we weren't here, but we're in the series of Milk to Meat and just growing in the Lord. And I hope that that's a prayer and a goal of yours to grow in grace. And I'm so thankful. Now, mentioning here, why should we be striving for this maturity and growth? One of the main things I want to touch on tonight is that of the judgment seat. And that of that we will all give account one day for what we've done in this body. Now, if you will, notice verse 7 there, if you're there in Romans 14, he says, "For none of us lived to himself, and no man died to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die, Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be both Lord of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, it is unclean. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of." Okay, we'll stop there in our reading with that, but he's talking again, as you know, looking forward and ahead to that great judgment day. Now, notice in your notes, I just put a few things. Think back to your school days. I know that was a ways off for some of us, but if you can remember back to those days, I remember my teachers talking about final exams. Now, some of my college teachers would start literally talking about them on the very first day of school. How many remember that? First day, came in, they handed you the syllabus. Here you go. You look it over. And I said, "I look forward to the final exam." I'm going, "What? That's months off. Why are we even thinking about that?" But they're trying to get us to prepare for that day. They wanted us to begin preparation for the test on the very first day. Now, sad to say, I usually didn't and lived to regret it. Now, they were trying to get us to set specific goals that would lead us successfully through the final exam. That way, we would know why we were literally here. What are we doing here? What are we trying to do? We would know where we were going, and we would have a definite purpose in life. Now, we must have worthy goals in our lives, or we will be unhappy and unproductive. Again, I've said it before, much of the world today, in America especially, they're unhappy. Why? They have no goal. They have nothing ahead of them. A lot of people don't have a job, or they don't have any kind of goal. They're not doing any kind of schooling or anything. They become unproductive and literally unhappy. Now, again, we must have something worthwhile to look forward to work towards. If you're saved, you know that you are a child of God, you know, or you're learning why you're here, and you know that you're going to heaven when you die. Therefore, your primary goal is to be prepared to pass your final exam with flying colors when you meet the Father in heaven. You want the Lord to say to you, as we've studied last time, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." So we must prepare for that final exam. Some of that preparation is taking place right now today. We are in school, literally. We will be graded on the material. We'll see this again. Be sure to take notes and place a star beside this. We truly will. Do not sleep in class. We're preparing for the most important exam we'll ever take, and we cannot wait until the night before the test and cram. We must prepare as we go. Now, the Lord Jesus will personally give the examination. He will test our works. He will reward those works which are worthy, and will burn those which are unworthy. This will take place at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll be our final exam. This exam is not to see if we can get into heaven. We studied this last 2 weeks ago. But this exam is to see what rewards we will have in heaven. And the exam will cover, again, three main topics. And that's what I want to look at tonight: the will of God, the gifts of God, and the work of God. Now, notice this and underline this. We must be in the will of God, using the gifts of God, doing the work of God. And that's what just sums up the Christian life. We have to understand this. So again, as we're growing and going from milk to meat in our maturity, let's examine these three main areas that we will be tested on at the final exam at the judgment seat. First one is the will of God. Now notice Acts 13:36. For David, after he had served his own generation, notice, by the will of God, fell on sleep, and he died, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. His body decayed, right? Now think about this. He had the will of God, he knew it, and he followed it. Now, letter A under that, we are to serve God. Several verses here. Notice of Matthew 4:10, then saith Jesus unto them, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, either hate the one, love the other. We also hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. By the way, a lot of Christians today are trying that still, playing that game, straddling the fence. It's just not working. And it's harsh, and they end up being depressed and empty and can't figure out why they can't find their place in life. John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And Colossians 3:23, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye are the Lord, ye serve the Lord Jesus, Lord Christ. So we are to serve the Lord. It's the will of God. We are to serve God. Notice this now. I talked to somebody, a younger person, and they said, yeah, I'm going to serve the Lord. Yeah, when I become an adult, you know, when I'm 25, I'm going to serve. No, 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 you serve the Lord now. You got to start now. Now is the day. We cannot serve a past generation as much as we like to talk about the past generation and how good they did it and what great job they did, and some didn't do a very good job. We can't serve them. They're dead and gone. Now notice, secondly, we can do only so much with a future generation, right? We can help and encourage and mentor and model and try and show them the way, but we can't do much. We are to serve our generation now. And I said it before, but I think sat at the bedside of people before. And what is it? It's woulda, coulda, shoulda. I wish I could have done more. Wish I could have done this. If they're a child of God, especially, they'll say these things. Man, I wish I would have done more for the Lord. And that's what it is. So we are to serve God now. Stop wasting time. And this growth, I'll grow tomorrow. I'll get better. I'll get right tomorrow. No, let's start now in it. Letter C. We're to serve God now according to the will of God. Now, God has a plan for our lives. Now, first, he has a general plan for all. That encompasses the church, the general plan. That of salvation. You need to get saved. You need to get baptized. You need to join the church. You need to get involved with Bible study and whatnot. In prayer, witnessing, tithing, getting involved, doing our part. Separation from worldliness, living a godly, holy life. That's general. That's for everybody, right? But God also has a specific plan for each believer. Notice, flip it over. Excuse me. He has a plan for each one of us. You're unique. One thing that's so special about it. Now, if you were a Buddhist, you're not special. If you were a Muslim, you're not special. If you're a Christian, a child of God, you're special. And not the special way, you know, like you ride the short bus, you know. It's a special. You're special. God has a place and a plan for you. And we've got a little book at home that we've been reading to the little kids, you know, and it says something like, you know, you're special. God made you just the way you are. And every little hair and every little mole you have, or God made you that way and special, you know. And you think about it, that's true. I'm so thankful that God knows who we are and he created us the way, even the things we don't like about ourselves. He created us that way. So God chooses how and where we serve. And God has a definite way for us to know his will. Now, a couple things here we've studied before, but submission is involved. You and I, we must be willing. You must willingly choose his plan. Go to Romans 12 if you're still there. Just back a page or two. But again, very familiar portion of Scripture. You probably have memorized it before. But he says, I beseech you. I'm asking you, right? Brethren, you fellow believers, he says, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, right? Which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed with to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here it is. Well, what for? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can prove the will of God. A lot of people don't know the will of God today. They just don't. Well, I don't know. I think I'll just kind of get a job and do my thing and just try to do my best here. No, what's God's will for your life? What does God want you to do? Where's he at? Submission must be involved with that. Report for duty and be faithful to his general plan. I don't know what to do. Best thing you can do if you don't know what God wants you to do, be faithful to church. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you're baptized. Join the church. Study the Bible. Be faithful. Be a blessing to your pastor. Be a blessing to the church. Get involved. That's the general plan. Here I am, Lord. I'm reporting for duty. Surrender fully to his will. We know that. Cooperation is involved. Notice Psalm 37. Just a few verses here. Cooperation. We must keep our eyes off the unbeliever. I don't know how many times I've said this before, but yeah, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord, do good, thou shalt dwell in the land, verily thou shalt be fed. He goes on and on. Delight thyself also in the Lord, shall give thee desires of the night. He goes on and on about these things. But can I encourage you, the cooperation, talking about doing the will of God in our growth process and the maturity process. You can't grow and mature outside of the will of God. If you're not in church, you're not going to grow and mature. I've seen it so many times. I've said it a few weeks ago, but in an addiction recovery program, they teach you this, that you stopped growing emotionally the very first time you picked up the alcohol or the pornography or the drugs. And that's why we have 65-year-old people that have the emotions of a 14-year-old, right? And you can't even talk to them because they get upset, you know. You can't correct them. You got to be real careful around them, but unless they get their feelings, they get all upset and angry. And what happened? They stopped growing emotionally at that point. They're still now just catching up in that. But notice this cooperation. We've got to keep our eyes off the unbeliever. We've got to. I heard just yesterday another friend of mine failed. Another young guy in the ministry failed. He's no longer, can't be, he's disqualified. Eyes on the unbeliever, right? Through this stinking thing right here, right? I mean, that's one of the biggest problems we have today in our world. And it's just, they're pushing it at us constantly, constantly. Simply, number two, simply trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Trust God that he's able to do it. People fret and fear, and it's easy to do it. I know that when the bills are high and the income is low and you don't know what to do, you like to smile, but you have to sigh. Rest if you must, but don't quit. I like that poem. But it's just simply trusting the Lord. Coming back to this, my growth process is going to take time. It's growing pains. Number three under that, delight yourself in him. Again, we've studied that word delight. That word delight is an amazing word. The world looks for and they substitute the word delight for high. H-I-G-H, high. I want a high. I want that feeling of a high. I get home from work. I want to relax. I want to sit down. I want to get a high from something. Well, we replace that. The word is delight. We find delight in the Lord. Man, I feel good. I just feel renewed when I spend time in Scripture and spend time in prayer and I'm around God's people. I feel that. That's a delight. Find that joy and delight in the Lord. And number four under that, surrendering all your plans to him and wait for his direction. And truly he will. He'll show you. He'll direct you. Again, I said this to someone recently, but God's not dangling the carrot in front of you playing games, is he? Oh, you almost got it. Oh, okay. Oh, you want to be pure and holy as a teenager? No, he's not playing games. God wants us to get busy, and he wants us to get going for him. Number four, then, notice, God has a specific will for every vocation. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about that, right? The vocation given to us. He has a will for every one of us. Each of us have a different job, if you will. Not only outside of the church, but inside the church too. We have a different job and gifts that are gifted to us. We know that, but he has a specific will. You are preparing for eternity, and underline this, not retirement. I like that. We're preparing for eternity, not retirement. So many people have their goal and eyes on the day they can retire, which is a great thing. You've worked so hard for that. You've been so faithful. For retirement. No, every day we're preparing for eternity, aren't we? Why? Because we don't know if we're going to live tomorrow. Keel over tonight. I don't know. Something may happen. You know, we don't know. And we think about, are you planning for eternity? Are you preparing for that day? You are to work where God has assigned you. Now, there is no secular work for a Christian, meaning we have to do things in the secular world, obviously, and work and make money and pay bills and do certain things like that. But we are not working secular jobs, if you will. We are to work. Everything we're doing is as a Christian, as a child of God. Every decision we're making, we're saying, is that going to please Him? Is that going to exalt the Lord? You work where God has assigned you. Where does God put you? I know more Christians that they just, where they're at, they don't like where they're at, so they don't do anything. They don't like where they are in their church. They don't like where they are, where they live. They don't like any of these things. So instead of being where they're supposed to be, they just sit, sulk, and sour, really. Now, you are to work then to pay expenses in order to serve God. What are we doing? I want to serve the Lord. In order to do that, it may be I may have to work and make some pay some of these expenses and do these things, but ultimately my goal is that of serving God. So are you in the will of God for your life? Now, the second thing is the gifts of God. Now, in our maturing process, going from that milk to meat, we, number one, have to know the will of God. Are you saved? Are you right with God? Are you serving Him? Yeah. Are you submitted and surrendered to Him? Yeah. Now, notice number two, the gifts God's given to us. So God created you. We know that. He creates everything according to plan and purpose. It is logical you were made for a specific purpose. Now, thinking logic, and logic is something that, again, I think everybody ought to take some kind of class or course on logic, you know, just thinking, try to think through something. Okay, if I put my fingers in that doorway, not going to be good. The girls, the other two little girls the other night, they were arguing about something, and she had her hand right there on the frame of the door of the pantry, and the other one said, okay, well, fine then. And she, I saw her grab, and she went like that, and I yelled across. I said, don't slam the door, and she looked at me. And I said, you're going to smash her fingers. And they both looked at, oh, that, okay, true. You know, I think as we grow, some people don't have that kind of logic, that thinking, if you will. Now, if you've ever driven on the highway, you know that. Now, we're made for a specific purpose. God creates every one of us for that purpose. He has a plan for us. I think one of the greatest things we can do in this life is find God's plan for our lives. And we're going to get to heaven, and He's going to show us a puzzle piece, a puzzle on the table. He's going to say, you see that? A bunch of pieces missing. I go, yeah. And he's going, that's your life. And see all those missing pieces? Yeah. Those are the things you wouldn't listen. You weren't listening. You wouldn't do what I told you to do. I was trying to put everything together for you. Now think about, we have certain talents. We have certain abilities and given to each one of us uniquely. Certain talents and abilities. He's gifted all of us. He's kept you alive that you might accomplish His purpose. Do you ever think about God does not need us, right? He does. I was griping and complaining one day years ago, and the Lord gently said, well, if you don't want to do that, I'll get someone else to do it. You know, He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our church here. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need any of us. But what is He doing? He's keeping us here and alive and giving us what we have to accomplish His will and His purpose. He desires to use us. Now, Romans 12 talks a little bit. And you go over again to 1 Corinthians 12 as well. Both these portions talk about the gifts of God. I don't need to reiterate them because you all know the gifts of God. We've studied that before. But God has gifted all of us. Now notice He gives at least one gift to each believer to enable all of us to serve. God gifts according to His will. God gifts, He gives gifts to edify the body. Now this is true, but He gives all of us certain gifts. And I think that we ought to be edifying. We ought to be using those gifts to help other people. We know that. But He's given us a gift for a reason. Some people say, though, I don't have any gifts. Yeah, you do. Even the most untalented person in the world has a gift God's given him. I mean, at least one person told me, at least, Brother Tim, you could serve as a bad example. You know, serve as an example of what not to do. Okay, I thought that's a good question. I like that. So thinking about it, we have a gift. Now, you're there in Romans 12 still. He talks a little bit about this. He goes on to say it. Verse 3, I guess might as well keep going there. He says, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Notice, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member is one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Okay, so you know the gifts, and I'd encourage you to study what your gift is. What is it? Lord, help me to see it. Pray and ask God. Show me. Your gift is not for selfish purposes. Your gift is to edify the body of Christ. And I like that. You get somebody up here on the platform, and boy, they can sing. Oh, man. And they know they can sing. You know, you've seen them before. And they're doing the whole, you know. And then you get someone up here like me, you know, can't sing very well. But I got a heart. Amen. And that's what but you get someone up here that can't sing real well, but boy, you can see their hearts in it. And they just want to serve the Lord. And I think about that. You may not have the talent, but God's gifted you in some way. Now, what is the gift? What's God done? Your gift is to edify the body of Christ. Your gift will profit you only if used as God desires. Again, I said this, you will not use God's gifts out in the world. You know, people have tried that. Well, I'm gifted in mercy. Yeah, go try to show that to people of the world. You know, they're going to punch you right in the, you know, you don't know with the gospel, you don't know whether to pucker or to duck. You mean, they're either going to be like, this is greatest news ever, or I'm about to let you have it. Go try, you have to use this within the local church. You know that. So exam day is coming. Are you using your gifts or gift to do the will of the Lord? Okay, so that leads us to number three here. And I wanted to touch on this just for a little bit, but the work of God. Now, the work of God is world evangelization. There's no other way to really put it. This is the responsibility of the church today. This is our goal. This is what we're focused on. Each believer is to do his or her part to carry the gospel to each person on earth. God wants to all to hear and to have the opportunity to accept or reject Jesus Christ. Every born-again believer is involved in the task, either helping or hindering. At the final exam, our part in the work of God will be examined. All right, so we know that. So just a few under this. Go with me to Matthew 25, if you will, there, verse 14. Notice he will judge based on our ability. He'll judge based on our ability. Now, again, just a reminder, we do not serve an unfair God. Okay, he's not unjust and unfair. And so knowing that, he will judge based upon our ability. Verse 14, if you're there, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man, traveling into a far country, who called his own servants, delivered unto them their goods, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according, notice this, to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, you know the rest of that story, but I just wanted to point out that. Everyone, their several ability, right? He understood each guy. Here you go. I'm going to give you this much. I'm going to give you this much. He's not an unfair person in regards to that. He's not an unjust God. Praise God for that. If you've studied any world religion, by the way, you know this to be true. I mean, you study Buddhism, you study Confucianism, you study even Mormonism and other things. These are things, a lot of their, what they call doctrine is unfair. It's just not right. We've seen a lot of the Muslims in the news recently. It is unfair what they do to those poor girls. I mean, what they do to those women, how they mutilate them, and all the things that they do to those young kids, those young boys, and how they mistreat them and all these things. And they do it all in the name of what? Allah. That's what the Quran tells us to do. It's unfair. It's unjust. Now, God gives every one of us an ability, right? We have different abilities and are only responsible for what we can do, right? I thank God for that, you know. Letter B, then he will judge the use of our opportunities. Okay, go back to Matthew chapter 20 here. Notice this. He will judge the use of our opportunities. And this is also another comfort that comes to us. I'm so thankful for it. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man, as a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw their standing idle in the marketplace, said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I'll give you. They went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, did likewise. About the 11th hour, he went out, found others standing idle, saith unto them, again, why are you standing here all day idle? And they say unto him, because no one hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And goes on and talks about some of those things. And you remember kind of the controversy there that those other fellows said, hey, that's not very fair. Do you think that he'll judge the use of our opportunities? He says, here's the opportunity I've given to you. Did you use it? Did you apply it? Well, I got real right with you, Lord, when I was 75, and I really served. Yeah, okay, that's great. Praise the Lord. But about 75, your physical abilities are kind of gone, you know. You can't do very much. And I talked to one elderly lady one time, and she was talking about that. She said, Brother Tim, I wish I would have done more for God when I had the ability, the energy. And now I can't do anything, really. I can just sit at home and text people and send out emails, which is great. But listen, God's given to us the use of our opportunities put in front of us. The opportunities come all the time, and we got to take advantage of that. Okay, so notice, letter C, he'll judge our motives. 1 Corinthians 9:16-17 talks about this. Our motive. What's your motive behind it? Again, we are not to judge people, the Bible says. We're supposed to judge righteous judgment. We are not to judge their motives, right? We have to be careful about that. Yeah, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, right? If I do this thing willingly, okay, if I do it against my will, well, it's God's will. You know, I'm doing what God's commanded me to do, even if sometimes I don't like that or don't want to do it necessarily. But notice he'll judge our motive. What's your motive behind this? Was it to get more money? Was it to get more gain? Was it to get more popularity? Or was it to serve Christ? I want to do it, God, what you want me to do. My motive is that I would please you. He will judge our faithfulness. You know that. 1 Corinthians 4:2 talks about what? Required unstewards, a man be found faithful. I can't tell you how much it helps a local church just to be faithful. Just being faithful. Just showing up, being faithful. Being faithful. And you know, that's one thing, doesn't take a lot of talent either, does it? You just show up, be faithful. Just do your part. Be faithful in every area. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stay focused on it. There's no other options for me. Now, to his general will for all and to his specific will for you, to be faithful to that. You can be faithful. Letter E, can I say he will judge the quality of our work? 1 Corinthians 3, the quality. God is a perfectionist. Underline that. You might not know that. God is a perfectionist. Demands are bad. Oh, God's not a perfectionist. Yes, he is. Okay. You can't get through the first three chapters of the Bible and go, well, God is a perfectionist. He likes things in order. He likes things just right, doesn't he? Right down the line. Clean, decent, in order. Some people said cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not biblical, but it is true. You know, if you're right with the Lord, there is something about this. You've got to have things right and in order. I want it where it's supposed to be. We got to be ashamed of those things that may cause others to look at us and at the things of God in a bad way. But notice this. He'll judge the quality of our work. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Do you have that? Yeah. No other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. So again, it's clarifying. It's not something of casting us into hell. It's talking about our works on this earth. What have we done? Do you have enough to put out on there to say, Lord, this is what I did? A lot of people don't even have enough to put out there. They were hit and miss, here a little, there a little. They did just enough to get saved, right? So he'll judge the quality of our work. What kind of work is it? Was it the bare minimum? So again, just closing here, each of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, personally giving account to Jesus of the things done in the body, whether good or bad. And really, there's nothing really complicated about that, good or bad. Was it good? Was it bad? Was it selfish? Was it for him? Was it glorifying? What we do for him. And I'll tell you what, boy, I really think about this often. I know you do as well, but maturity takes a lot of work, doesn't it? There's a lot in it. There's a lot of growing pains. There's a lot of things in there. It's easier to sit back and just sit back on our, you know, whatever, and have a good time and let things happen, whatever happens. No, it takes a lot of work and energy to get up, to get to church, to be faithful, to try to memorize scripture, to try to share. Man, sharing the gospel is not easy. It's scary, isn't it? I mean, you get, I don't know if I can do that. I don't feel comfortable. But when you do that, there's marks of maturity in our lives, isn't there? Those maturing process, that maturing thing in our lives that God is doing. These three areas I want you to focus on this week if you will, the will of God and the work of God, and looking at what God has for us. In that, he gifts us to fulfill both of those things. He gives us exactly what we need. And I'm so thankful. God never leaves us high and dry. Here you go. I want you to finish this and get it done. I'll be back at 5 o'clock. I want it done. And he has, I don't know what, Lord, you didn't give me any tools. I don't know how to finish this. I don't know what to do. I don't know, nail gun, hammer. I didn't give me no level, tape measure. I have no idea what to do. No, he gives us a whole truckload of tools. Yes, here you go. Get this done. I've given you everything you need, everything you'll ever need to do it and get it done. Praise the Lord for that. So again, I hope and pray you're trying and growing in the faith. None of us have arrived yet. Paul said that, didn't he? He said, well, I'm not arrived. I still got a long ways to go. They said, you, Paul? He says, yep, me too. Working at this, trying it. I think all of us, I'm preaching to myself, but we all need to step up, especially myself. We need to step up our game in our Christian life, don't we? We could do a lot better. We could do a lot better. I could do a lot better in my growth, in my prayer, in my study, my faithfulness, my attentiveness, all of it. I really could. And I think we can, can't we? And I know that you are doing a great job at that. Thank you for coming out on our midweek service tonight. Okay, well, I'll stop there. Take these notes with you, if you will, and look at these verses on your own. We didn't get to cover all of the verses, and I think you'll find a lot of encouragement in these verses as you walk through it and look at it. As you grow, looking through this, God has a special plan for all of us, and he has a special place for all of us. I'm so thankful that he does, don't you? All right, remember these on our prayer list, if you will, please. And we have several tonight, couldn't make it, as you know that. Keep them in your prayers. And Lord willing, we will see you on Sunday. And looking forward to our 7-year anniversary on Sunday. We'll have a little celebration and have something out there to eat. We'll have something to tie us over. And so grab some of these gospel tracts, if you will, on your way out, and just begin inviting folks to our Easter services. Looking forward to that. We had a couple come 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they commented and said, we've never been a part of a church like this. And I kind of said, well, what do you mean by that? I was inquisitive. And they said, well, just that it's basically you just preach the word. And I said, well, yeah. And you just preach out of the Bible. I said, yeah, absolutely. And they kind of had a Catholic background, but I was so glad that they said that. Praise the Lord for that. So anyways, good to see everybody. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for this evening once again and for your grace here to be here. We're so thankful for what you're doing and praising you, Lord. We know we've got several that just are not feeling well. They just seem to continually struggle with health issues. We pray for them. We lift them up, Lord. We pray you guide us now. Thank you for these verses and this message that we could examine, diving into the Word tonight, looking at some stuff, Lord. Are we in the will of God? Are we doing your work? And praising you that you've given us every gift and everything we need to fulfill your will for our lives. Help us to grow. Strengthen us in these days, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.